Our series of candidate interviews continues this hour as we talk with Joel Lewis, one of two candidates running in the Democratic primary for Wisconsin's 7th Congressional District. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 8.5 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Wednesday, August 3rd. The 7th Congressional District is much of northern Wisconsin. It's a seat that is currently held by Republican U.S. Representative Sean Duffy. He also faces a Republican challenger in the primary. We heard from him, the Republican challenger, last week. We invited Sean Duffy to join us, but he did not respond. We also heard from the other Democratic candidate running in the primary in the 7th District, Mary Heft, last week. Now it's Joel Lewis's turn, and you can ask him a question at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Joel Lewis is a Marathon County Board Supervisor. He's a board member of a federally qualified health clinic and a home care worker. He is challenging Mary Heft in the 7th Congressional District. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for being with us. So why are you running for Congress?
I've lobbied Sean Duffy for various organizations over the last 6 years, and I haven't been happy with his response. And I think it comes down to the money in politics stands in the way of politicians actually listening to their constituents, and I've been fed up. And so when Kirk Manning said dropped out of the race, I thought, well, I'm going to jump in.
Well, what is it? Republican Sean Duffy has represented the district now since 2010. What's wrong with the job he's been doing?
Initially, he had talked about privatizing Social Security and Medicare, so my grandfather and I went out to D.C. to lobby him, and we were under the impression that he'd be there. We were representing the Friends Committee on National Legislation, so we were representing a large block of voters, and he was not there when we got to his office, and that was my first experience. And then we continued to lobby him locally on things like raising the minimum wage, reducing student loan interest rates, things along those lines, immigration reform.
At a recent forum put on by the Douglas County Democrats, you said that you support a living wage and universal health care. We'll take these one at a time. Why is a living wage important?
Well, we tell people if they work hard that they can get ahead, and that there's, you know, access to opportunities to move forward. But yet so many of our workers, their wages have stagnated. Many people have worked at a place for a decade and still not seen a raise or seen their wages go up. Yet the cost of living is continuously going up. And so I feel that by not having good quality wages, wages that you can use to pay your rent, to pay for your health care, to pay for your food, if you don't have that, then that's hurting our communities. And right now I see most of the money going to the top, the CEOs who do not live in our communities, and therefore our small businesses and our communities are hurt because there's not enough revenue being spent.
What is a living wage? Is that a minimum wage of $15 an hour, $10 an hour, something else?
I think 15 is good as long as it's phased in over 3 years or something like that, some way so that we can protect small business owners. Here in Marathon County, according to the United Way's Life Report, $11.30 an hour at 40 hours a week in a household of one would be considered a living wage based on fair market rent.
You also said you supported universal health care. What do you mean by universal health care?
I support having a public option. So it's kind of a Medicare for all model and be based off of your income.
Yeah, why do you support that?
Because I believe that health care is a right, and if our citizens are not healthy, then they're not able to be contributing, you know, positively to our community and to the workforce. So health is number one if people are going to be productive members of society.
Yeah. So you, in essence, support the Affordable Care Act, except you would like a public option rather than the current marketplace that's available?
Exactly. And, you know, I am concerned about the Cadillac tax. I think that has hurt people. I have talked to folks who are making about $50,000 a year, and I'm hearing that they have high deductibles. I also heard the premium could double just before I got on the air here. So these are things we all have to be prepared to deal with. And, you know, it's because of the cost of healthcare and our prescription drugs that it's hard to find a way to reform the healthcare system. Basically, most Americans don't make enough money to afford the cost of healthcare. So that's the issue here. And we need to continue to make it affordable for all Americans.
Now, you've also mentioned, and you also list economic inequality as one of your key issues on your website. Essentially, you say that banks and corporations are more important to politicians than the well-being of citizens. Why do you say that?
Well, I think it's very obvious. Student loan interest rates are a great example. Folks can, you know, pay anywhere between 6%, and I've heard all the way up to 12%, depending on the types of loans they've had. And yet you hear of Wall Street investors getting a 1% to 2% interest rate on their loans. It doesn't make any sense to me that we would be asking so much from our working class kids who are trying everything that they're supposed to do to get ahead. And I think that's one great example. Broadband, the lack of investment in broadband in our rural areas, I believe is because companies do not see it as a worthwhile investment. There are not enough customers in those areas for them to make the investment, so they just kind of forget about those parts of our district. The minimum wage issue is another obvious illustration of the people on the top mattering more than the people at the bottom who are doing the work. And so, I think it's time for us to stand up and say, hey, we want our fair share of wages for the labor that we give. We want to make sure that we have access to the opportunities to get ahead. If we work hard, we should be able to get ahead. And I don't see that happening for so many people now.
We are talking with Joel Lewis, a Marathon County Board Supervisor. He is a Democratic candidate for Congress in the 7th Congressional District. He faces Democrat Mary Heft in the 7th District primary coming up next week, next Tuesday. We welcome your questions for him at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Let's take a call from John in Beloit. Hello, John.
Good morning. Thank you for having me. My question is that the minimum wage issue, I believe in a living wage, and I think that's a great thing, but I think how we get to it will make a big difference. I have two parents on Social Security and a grandparent, and how is the inflation, if you like put the minimum wage to $15 an hour, going to affect those people? Also, how is it going to affect the people that are on the on welfare and things like that? When the inflation hits, you're going to have housing issues and housing prices that will rise and things of that nature. And I want to know your plan for that, because otherwise what you're going to do is drive our poor people into more of a hole. I'll take my questions and comments off the air. Thank you.
Well, so do you think a $15 an hour minimum wage is going to lead to inflation, Joel Lewis?
When you look over throughout history, there hasn't been a significant jump in the cost of living related to the minimum wage increase. And I think if it's done right, we can make sure that the communities and the consumers can absorb the cost. So that's why some places have phased it in over 3 to 5 years. There's also other states that I've seen that have tried to tie it to the profits of the company. But I guess what I would say is that the cost of living is constantly going up while wages are stagnating. And, that's really the issue.
What do you say to the argument that someone who works at a fast food restaurant doesn't necessarily need to make $15 an hour? The fast food restaurant can put in a computer, and then we're going to lose jobs because that's cheaper than paying someone $15 an hour.
Right. In America, we've pushed towards automation more and more, the more we learn newer technologies. And I don't believe that that's actually tied to wages. I think it's just tied to companies trying to be more profitable. The fact is, Walmart, Yum Foods, and McDonald's corporations are three of the largest employers in the world, and yet they're paying less than $9 an hour and offering no benefits. And this is hurting our small communities. This is hurting a lot of people, and I think that's what the issue is. And it's not that, a burger flipper doesn't deserve that. You shouldn't look at it like that. You should look at it, this is a huge portion of our workforce
And if they're not making a living wage and they're not able to spend money in their community, that's hurting everybody.
Joel Lewis is our guest. He is running for Congress in the 7th Congressional District in northern Wisconsin. He faces another Democratic candidate on Tuesday in the primary. The winner of the primary will move on to the general and face either the incumbent, Sean Duffy, or his Republican challenger, whoever emerges victorious next Tuesday. We welcome your questions for Joel Lewis, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. We are holding a series of candidate interviews prior to the August 9th primary. Tomorrow, we will be focusing in on the 8th Congressional District. We now continue our discussion with Joel Lewis, one of two Democrats running in next week's primary election for the 7th Congressional District in northern Wisconsin. We talked with his opponent in the Democratic primary, Mary Heft, last week. The winner will face the winner of the Republican primary, either Don Rahala or U.S. Representative Sean Duffy. If you have a question for Joel Lewis, give us a call at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Joel Lewis is a Marathon County Board Supervisor. He's a board member at a federally qualified health clinic and a home care worker. Back to the phones we go, and Jeremy in Racine is with us next. Hello, Jeremy.
Hi. Thanks, Tim Paul. In regards to health care, universal health care, I'm really interested in universal health care. I believe that everybody should have some form of health coverage because it does have a burden on the system as a whole. But have you ever looked at maybe looking at the facilitators of the healthcare industry in regards to the hospitals, how much they're charging their patients? Is it justifiable costs? An example, like an MRI or a CT scan can range anywhere from $500 to $1,000 for a 20-minute MRI visit. Is that a justifiable amount to actually charge a patient?
Go ahead.
I think that's a great question, and I think that you've kind of hit on one of the things that's making it harder for people to afford health care, is that they are pushed into unnecessary screenings. Oftentimes, my grandfather, who's 87 now, once had Lyme's disease, but they tested him for so many different things that at one point they told us that they thought he had bone cancer, and eventually it came down to just a simple blood test to prove that he had Lyme's disease. And my grandfather does not feel that's the only time that maybe tests that were not necessary were done. So, yes, we need to maybe scrutinize medical spending more and also the cost of some of these procedures. I agree with you.
Thank you, Jeremy. Let's go next to Jim in the Village of Maine. Hi, Jim.
Well, hello, man. Thanks for taking my call. And, Joel, I'm wondering about the students that have had huge indebtedness placed upon them because of their student loans. Some have been government loans and some private loans, and I'm concerned about my granddaughter who has an indebtedness of something over $60,000 at this time, and it's a real hardship for her as a young mother.
So what would you do about the high cost of student loans, Joel Lewis?
And so, as I touched upon previously, I believe we need to lower the student loan interest rate. Something like 2% would be a lot more feasible for working class kids. Also, I believe another part of this is making sure that we're encouraging our working class children to go into fields where they can get careers. I think traditionally people have been able to go into whatever they want, and that's maybe not a good thing if everybody's going for one major, but there aren't enough jobs for that. And then also we can work with our public colleges and universities to reduce the tuition, especially for students who can prove they're going to be good students.
On your website, you say that the war on drugs has resulted in a go-get-the-bad-guys approach instead of treating drug abuse and addiction like a mental illness.
Correct.
So how are you going to, what do you propose to change this?
I would like to see more money being allocated into mental health treatment. right now, what they're doing is they're stepping up initiatives to do screenings so that we can tell when someone comes into contact with law enforcement whether or not they have a mental illness, whether or not they're living with drug abuse or drug addiction issues. And then this allows us to look at the kinds of services available. But the problem is many communities lack the services, and that's because we haven't been investing in those services over the last 30 to 40 years. We've instead treated many mental illnesses and drug addictions as a crime rather than a mental health issue. And what I'm saying is that our methamphetamine and heroin epidemics are not going to get fixed in the back of a squad car or a jail cell. That's going to get fixed by making sure that we have the appropriate mental health care providers in place and that we're making those investments.
Yeah. You are also a big advocate for green technologies. Why do you think that's the best way forward for people in northern and northwestern Wisconsin?
I think this is a huge economic boom. Whether you agree that global warming or climate change are issues or not is irrelevant in my mind. We have politicians standing in the way of investing in renewable energies. These are energies that people are very excited about, that they would invest in, that they would purchase. But because of donations from the coal, oil, and natural gas industries, politicians stand in the way of these investments in solar, wind, and geothermal technologies. All across northern Wisconsin, we have a lack of good jobs. I hear from many of our voters that say, Joel, my kids go off to college and they never come back because there aren't enough good jobs, and I don't see my grandkids. So I envision investing in renewable energy jobs and trying to get those jobs across northern Wisconsin, and these would be good-paying jobs that would provide a living wage and benefits.
We have just a few more minutes with Joel Lewis before we turn our attention to the 8th Congressional District. Joel Lewis is a candidate for the 7th Congressional District, the seat that is currently held by U.S. Representative Sean Duffy. What questions do you have for Democrat Joel Lewis, a Marathon County Board Supervisor, board member of a federally qualified health clinic, and a home care worker? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Well, we have a number of people who still want to talk about the minimum wage. Julie in St. Cloud.
Good morning.
Yes.
I was always under the understanding that minimum wage was meant more for the part-time high school, college students, temporary seasonal kind of work. You know, not meant for somebody taking on a full-time job supporting a family where that should be paid a fair wage there. And a lot of small businesses, especially I live in a small rural area where, you know, there in our area really has a lot of full-time, good-paying jobs, but they cannot find enough employees to supply, you know, the manufacturing company. So, you know, are people taking these part-time jobs expecting to work fewer hours and still get high-quality pay?
Joel Lewis?
I'm not exactly sure about that question. Could you reword that question?
Well, I think she's just saying that she doesn't think that the minimum wage for seasonal temporary work is really necessary when there are some decent manufacturing jobs in her area that are going unfilled. And she also thinks that it would be a burden on, you know, small businesses in rural, she's in Minnesota, but rural Wisconsin, if you raise the minimum wage for temporary seasonal work.
Yeah, so I think she's talked about, basically touched upon the skills gap here. And so in certain communities, this is happening, and we could work with our technical colleges to ensure that people are getting the right training to go into those jobs. However, we cannot ignore the fact that we're on par to have nearly 40% of our workforce in the service industries by 2025, according to the University of California, Berkeley. So this means no matter how good of training you have or what kind of degrees you have, you could end up working one of these low-wage jobs for a highly profitable company. And I would argue that those highly profitable companies paying low wages is partially what's hurting our manufacturing facilities around the country.
Yeah. Boy, I meant to get to this, and we have one caller who wants to ask about it. So let me just ask, how would you like to see the U.S. handle the threat from ISIS or the threat of terrorism?
So ISIS specifically is a very hard group to go after as far as military intervention because they don't have a specific place. So I think the key to dealing with that issue is working with the other countries that are affected by ISIS, making sure they take the front role on taking and dealing with the situation. You know, we've spent so much money on military over the last few decades that I think we need to really try to do something more affordable and that will work better. I look at ISIS as a result of our involvement in Iraq. And so I wonder if we go over there with more military intervention now to deal with ISIS, what's the next group that we're going to create through that involvement? And I believe diplomacy would be a much better way to deal with it.
So in our final moment here, why should Democratic voters in the 7th Congressional District vote for you in the August 9th primary as opposed to your Democratic primary challenger, Mary Heft?
Sure. I think Mary is a very capable and good person. I'd say that the one thing that makes me stand out is that my family has organized and lobbied Sean Duffy for the last 6 years. We've organized members of the 7th Congressional District, not just Democrats, but Republicans, independents, all walks of life, to raise up and use their voice to put pressure on Duffy and other elected leaders. So basically, we've been out there, we've been on the ground, we've been putting in the work. And I also understand how Sean works. I've watched him the last 3 congressional races and the debates, and studied him, and I believe I have the best chance for challenging him in the November 8th election.
Thank you very much for being with us. Joel Lewis, a Marathon County Board Supervisor, a board member of a federally qualified health clinic, a home care worker, who is challenging Mary Heft in the August 9th Democratic primary in Wisconsin's 7th Congressional District. He is facing Mary Heft in the Democratic primary, a seat that is currently held by Republican U.S. Representative Sean Duffy, who is also facing a primary challenger on Tuesday, Don Rahala. By the way, if you missed any of our candidate interviews or want more information on a candidate, an issue, or the latest election news, you can go to wisconsinvote.org. That's wisconsinvote.org.